Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and we're here to study the Bible together under the teaching of our founder, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Today, we travel through 2 Thessalonians, where we've learned that Paul is attempting to answer any questions that the believers have from his first letter to the church in Thessalonica. And then he also wants to clear up rumors that Jesus Christ has already returned to gather his church and the days of the Great Tribulation had arrived. So as you grab your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, let's share some letters from our fellow listeners on Through the Bible. From Glenview, Illinois, we've got Nancy. Thank you for your faithfulness in this ministry. Oh, how it blesses my husband and I to hear how it goes around the world in so many languages. Due to a degenerative illness, I am now disabled and live in chronic pain, but I have my pocket pal, your solar Bible bus, with me and the Holy Spirit, so I rarely feel alone. I try to listen to 5 messages each weekday. Wow. And on the weekends, read the word or listen to it. My husband also has a solar Bible bus and listens from the road while working. Although I've been saved for 30 years, I thank Dr. McGee for correcting some wrong doctrine I had and clarifying so much through his teachings. It feels like I have a wise and wonderful friend and Bible teacher with me throughout my days. Since I'm no longer able to sit in a church, we have decided to dedicate the majority of our giving to Through the Bible. I can honestly say, as physically painful as my life is, I agree with Psalm 119:71 and can now declare to the Lord, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. I used to be very busy for the Lord in numerous ministries, but now I'm learning the joy of abiding and growing in faith as we eagerly await his return for his church. May God bless, protect, and provide for you all in his service. Wow, Nancy, it really is a pleasure to have you aboard the Bible bus each day for an extended period of time. 5 broadcasts a day, that's something. And thanks for your faithful financial support and your prayer support that keeps the Bible bus going in more than 120 languages and dialects all around the world. Now, next we've got an email. This is from Rhoda in Rogers, Arkansas. I've listened for years, and I can't tell you when I first began. The word is always fresh because every time God speaks in a new way. I've been saved since I was 5 years old. I remember it well. Years ago, I walked away to live in the pig pen for a period of time, but now I see how God has pulled me up out of these filthy ways. He is my Redeemer. He persuaded me, and I am so grateful every day. My parents gave me the greatest inheritance, and that was the salvation story. I love listening to you daily, and we love having you join us, Rhoda. Thanks for writing. You know, I'm sure that just like Nancy and Rhoda, you've got a story to share of what you've learned and how God has changed you through studying his word, and we'd love to hear it. You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon all who hear your word today. Please transform our lives through the knowledge of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come back to 2 Thessalonians, and we are here in the first chapter at verse 3. And Paul, in this section here, is speaking of the persecution of believers now and the judgment of unbelievers hereafter, that is, at the coming of Christ. In fact, there will be a judgment then to see who enters the kingdom. And then at the end of the millennial kingdom, there is the great white throne judgment, which is only for the lost, and they'll be raised, be given a fair opportunity to present their case before God. And we've already been forewarned, nobody can be saved there because these are Christ's rejecters that are there. They are rejects. That is, they have made Christ a reject. And they stand before him for judgment. You can see what that would involve. He died for them. It's not a question of him sending them to hell. The whole point rests on just one thing. They've rejected. They are already lost. They're already hell doomed. They have rejected the only way they can be saved. And they are going to be able to present their case there because there are a great many men today, I've talked with them. They think the gospel I preach is absurd, that they don't need, as one man said to me, I'm not going to heaven on the back of anyone else. I'll stand on my own 2 feet. Well, the great white throne's for that. Now we're going to see both of these things, the persecution of believers here and the other, the judgment of the wicked. Now, as we come to this chapter here, we see the main thing that persecution does. You see, for believers, it's a discipline. God disciplines his children. He punishes the wicked. And that's the difference, by the way. He attempts to rehabilitate his children. He wants to have the lost born again, reborn, if you please. Now, as we come back here to verse 3 again, he says, and I'm reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because, or as it is right for us to do that, it's fitting for us, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. You can't grow in the grace of God. You see, you can't grow toward him without growing outward toward your brother. You grow to God in grace and knowledge, faith, and you grow to your brother in love. Now, all of this does what? He has to send us a little trouble, because that is a discipline that produces in our life a patience that enables us to look down into the future in hope. Verse 4 now. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations or afflictions that ye endure. You see, the church will not go through the great tribulation, but we're going through the little tribulation. We're going to have a little trouble down here, and if you're not, Christian friend, there must be something radically wrong with you, you see. And this word here that has to do with patience, your patience, that's an interesting word here. Actually, it means to stand in under, to be placed in under. A great many people try to get out from in under their problems, their difficulties. Well, the person who's patient, he is able to stay under, and he keeps carrying that load. He doesn't throw it off, doesn't get rid of his responsibility. And these Thessalonian Christians, they had a real testimony in the Roman world of that day. They were in a Roman colony, and there was going to and fro out of that colony all the time, and word got out everywhere. And therefore, they were enduring, actually, a great deal of trouble. They had persecutions and afflictions, and this was something that was not strange. The Word of God makes it clear, Christian friend, you're going to have a little trouble down here. Peter, in his first epistle, fourth chapter, expressed it like this, verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Have you ever heard a Christian say, oh, I don't know why God let this happen to me. Nobody's ever had to go through with it. My friend, I don't know what you're going through, but whatever you're going through, you're not the only one. You have company, because it's not a strange thing. And in view of that, verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And he says, now we're not to suffer, verse 15, as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, a great many Christians are in hot water constantly because they talk too much. They talk about others, and they get in trouble. Or they actually are dishonest, and they're in trouble, and they complain about it. Well, friend, if you suffer like that, there's no advantage in discipline of your life and developing patience. You're just getting what's coming to you. Now, he says, though, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And here in verse 16 of 1 Peter 4 is where I've just read. And therefore, we are to recognize that we are being disciplined. God will punish the wicked. And again, I need to repeat this, that today our judges, and I tell you, friends, the lawlessness in this nation is frightening. In fact, everybody's got frightened. They're going to have to do something about it, you see. You can't rehabilitate criminals. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's some that you can help. I think these first offenders that got with the wrong crowd, they can be helped, of course. But these hardened criminals today, there should not be a program to rehabilitate them and in 6 months turn them out on society. Because I tell you, they should be punished. And it should be very clear they're being put in prison to be punished, and they should be kept there. And that's the reason that I have believed all along that it's the teaching of the Word of God that capital punishment is a deterrent to crime. And right now, the liberals are not so eloquent as they were some time ago. In fact, the matter is, it's rather amazing now to hear on the television some of these liberal boys talking about we must have law and order. Well, that was kaput a few years ago or a few months ago. But it's coming back in style today. There should be punishment. Now, I'm saying all of this because God disciplines his children for their development, for their growth, that they might have patience and a hope for the future. You don't need to get too comfortable down here. If you do, you wouldn't be looking for the Lord to come. Now he goes on to say here in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now, that hasn't anything to do with your salvation, but it sure prepares you for your eternal state, my friend. You and I today are going to look back, and maybe some of us will wish we had a little bit more discipline than we got. That is for the present. Now, there's coming up the punishment of the wicked. Listen to him as he begins, actually, in verse 6. However, I have put it in my notes, the judgment of the wicked at the coming of Christ, beginning at verse 8. But this is preparation. Verse 6, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And when God judges today, God is righteous in it. And Paul asks the question, is there unrighteousness with God? And the answer is, let it not be. God forbid. I don't care what God does, it's right. He can't do wrong. He does right. And we complain because we actually are ignorant. We do not understand why God does a certain thing. And he does it for a very definite purpose. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, the Lord Jesus is coming in judgment. And here it begins on verse 8, and here it is. I'll just have to read it to you. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, I want to say some things right at this particular spot. The Word of God actually says very little about heaven. And one of the reasons is it's so wonderful that we could not comprehend it. And the Lord does not want us to get so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Therefore, he wants us to keep our eyes down here on our walk, our pathway, and I'm not sure to keep our nose on the grindstone quite a bit of the time. Now, Scripture not only says very little about heaven, it says less about the condition of the lost. It's so awful that the Holy Spirit has drawn a veil over it, and there's nothing there to satisfy the morbid curiosity or the lust for revenge. Because you see, when God judges, God does not do it in a vindictive manner. He does it to vindicate, you see, his righteousness and his holiness. But there's nothing in the Scripture to satisfy the lust, but there's enough there that it ought to give you a warning. It does not mean that it's less real because so little is said. Actually, Christ said more about hell than anyone else. Hell's an awful reality, and I'm not going to speculate on it. I'm just going to give what is said right here. It's bad enough. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, hell's ridiculed today, and that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It was also, not too many years ago, it was a popular notion that Hitler would not plunge Europe into a war and make a holocaust of the whole thing and turn Europe into a flaming fire. But he did. Oh, the dreamers. The man that took the umbrella and went over to meet with Hitler and Mussolini. And he came back and said, we'll have peace in our time. Well, we didn't and we don't today. There were many that thought that Japan would not attack America. Now, it's not popular for me to say this right now, but our government at that time didn't believe they would. And the liberal churches at that time were teaching pacifism, if you please. Now, whether they believed it or not, there was a Pearl Harbor. My friend, there is a hell. And Christ is coming to this earth someday. First, he's going to take his own out of the earth, as we'll see next time. But he's coming, and it will be a terror to the wicked. It will be a judgment. Those that know not God, it's life eternal to know him, and who obey not the gospel. That is the thing here. This is the work of God. You want to work for your salvation? This is the work of God, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God says. Now, you can make it look very nice today. And I would like to say this. I hear a great many testimonies today. I have a book that someone sent me, and I returned it because of the fact it was filled with I. Nothing very much about the Lord Jesus other than this man, he got rich, he had a good personality, he'd saved his home, everything. Oh, it was just wonderful. And it was. But there's nothing in his testimony, and there's nothing in the average testimony I hear today of a person who says, I was a hell-doomed sinner going straight to hell. I was lost, and he saved me. My friend, that's the important thing to say in your testimony, not what he's done for you today in the gimme-gimme side. What did he deliver you from? That's the reason that he came. He came to redeem us, friends, not to give you a new personality and make you a successful businessman. He came to deliver you from hell, my friend. Now, that's not popular today. People don't like that. But a lot of folk don't like to be told they had cancer. Dear lady, would not go to the doctor. She knew she had cancer because the first time she went, he said she did. She would not go back. She insisted it was something else. No use me telling you, they buried her. He's been buried now for a long time. She had cancer, and the doctor told her the truth, but she was not prepared to see it. And today, there's too few that are telling folk this, that you are lost. Now, may I say to you, if somebody came, you were out yonder in a burning building, and a man came in there when you were asleep. He waked you up, and he shocked you, and he picked you up, and he carried you out of that burning building. And he liked you, and he's a rich man. He made you his son, brought you into his home, a lovely home, and then made over to you so many wonderful things. Now, what would you, if you got up before a group of people to thank him, what would you thank him for? Would you thank him for the fact he'd made you his son? I hope you would. That'd be good. But what would you really thank him for? Wouldn't you really thank him because he rescued you out of that burning building? Now, here, the judgment of the wicked is coming. Now, if you want to stay in that class, you're going to be judged. Somebody ought to tell you that. And I'm going to tell you that. Now, will you notice what he says here? Verse 11, wherefore, also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, he does want to do good things for you today, but he saved you from something. That's important. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if God has prospered you, made you a successful businessman, and you can get up and glorify Christ, fine. But what about these poor saints? I have a letter of a woman that's right here in Los Angeles in a hospital and been there flat of her back for most of her life, and has a radiant testimony. I'll be honest with you, my friend. It's nice to get up before a comfortable group after you've had a banquet in this affluent society and brag about how God has blessed you. What about that woman lying on that bed? She has a radiant testimony. I say to you, she's glorifying God. I'm not quite sure about you, brother. I'm not quite sure about you and about me today whether we glorify him when we boast of the fact that he's so blessed us today, and he has, but he's also delivered us from hell. That doesn't sound good today, does it? But that happens to be what the Word of God says, and it says it right here. Now, we're going to leave off there and pick up chapter 2 next time. And if you've got folk who believe the church is going through the great tribulation, have them listen next time.
The Bible makes it very clear there is a hell. As Dr. McGee explains, those who accept Jesus Christ are headed for a very different outcome, though. If you'd like to know more about how you can spend eternity with him, visit us at ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? There you can download several free resources by Dr. McGee that describe the incredible gift of salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. Or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can request a couple of those resources be sent to you by mail. As Dr. McGee mentioned, rejecting God comes with a very steep price tag. But God's offer of salvation is free to those who believe in him. So please call us. The decision to accept him is the most important one that you'll ever make. We really want to help you understand what this means today. Again, the number is 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. And for those of you who are walking with Christ, who want to go deeper in your study of the Bible, don't forget the large selection of resources that Through the Bible has to offer online, either for purchase or for free download. For a complete list, visit us at ttb.org or give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can suggest some of our most popular items. Now, today's message was a very important one, so if you'd like to listen to it again and maybe share it with a family member or friend, it's available anytime at ttb.org. Just click on Listen to hear it again. You know, there's a lot of talk about Antichrist in Christian circles, but are you clear about exactly who he is? Well, join us tomorrow as Dr. McGee teaches more about him and his work as our study continues in 2 Thessalonians. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.